You're listening to the teaching ministry of Harvest Fellowship Church in Boyertown, Pennsylvania. You can find out more about us on the web at www.harvestfellowshipchurch.org. We pray that through our teaching, we may present everyone mature in Christ.
Father, we thank you for another night that we might share your word. We thank you for these ancient words that you, by your grace, have superintended and brought to us even today in these modern times, Lord, where we can open our Bibles in our own homes and we don't have to go to the synagogue or to a building to hear the word, but we are blessed to have the word in our very hands. Oh, Lord, but let us not take that for granted this evening. Let us look again to your word. We ask you by your Spirit to teach and guide us. May we be humbled at your word, and as your word says, may we tremble at your word, realizing that it is you, the living God, who speaks through your word by your Spirit. Thank you tonight, O Lord, for this time that we share together. May these words dwell deep into our hearts and our minds. May we be changed and transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus. And may this bring you glory and bring us good in Christ's name. Amen. Again, we're in the book of Ruth. It's right after the book of Judges. I'm going to read the first, chapter 1. I want to read all the way up to verse 18. And, of course, I left my glasses downstairs, but we'll get by. All right, I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm going to read. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem and Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem and Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb, that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Now, last week when we ended, we left Ruth with the last verse that we read, and that was the fifth verse. And it said, and both Malhan and Chilion died, so that the woman was left with her two sons and her husband. And if you recall, I said she started out as the wife of Elimelech. She started out as Naomi, which means pleasant. She started out as the mother of two sons when they left Israel. Now, in the fields of Moab, her husband has died. Her two sons have died. And when we read that last verse, it says, and both Malhan and Chilion died, so that the woman, and that's how the narrator refers to her now, she is that woman, or the woman, was left without her sons and her husband. Now, in that culture, to be left without sons and without a husband literally made you a homeless person. There were no food banks. There were no homeless shelters. She lived in a foreign country apart from her covenant people. And she was in the fields of Moab gleaning and working in the fields, obtaining food. And we come then to the next verse, verse 6. And it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. Elimelech and his wife Naomi left Bethlehem of Judah. Bethlehem, we said last week, ironically, is called the house of bread. But apparently there was a lack of bread in the house of bread. There was a famine in the land, one of the many famines that God brought upon his people Israel because they disobeyed his covenant commands and they lived in sin and disobedience and they worshiped false God. God in his judgment brought a famine in the land. And Elimelech, Naomi left thinking there was a better, greener pastures in the fields of Moab, only to find out that in their disobedience, Elimelech died, Malhan died, Chilion died, and here she is, left alone with these two young women in the fields of Moab, when then all of a sudden she hears, word comes to her, that there is once again bread in the house of bread. The shelves have been restored, filled up again. There is food in the nation of Israel. God has restored his people. He has brought them out of this famine by his grace. And she wants to return. It says she arose. It was a decisive action. We don't hear anything of a repentance of her like we do when we hear the story by the lips of Jesus about the prodigal son. We don't hear that she saw her folly in leaving Israel. All we are told is she got up and she arose with her daughter-in-laws to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people. Notice that. It is the Yahweh, it is the covenant God of Israel that she realizes had given his people, that is the people of Israel, he had brought them food. So, we move to verse 7. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on her way to return to the land of Judah. So here is this widow, lost her two sons. She begins to head back from the fields of Moab to her hometown of Bethlehem, taking these two young women with them. In Ian Duguid's commentary on the book of Ruth, he has a comical little part where he says, Naomi leaving the fields of Moab and returning to Bethlehem, to Israel, with these two Moabite women, they would be about as welcome as a ham sandwich at a bar mitzvah. And I thought that was pretty good. Here she's going to bring these two pagan women into the land of Israel, show up in her hometown, and what kind of welcome were they going to get? Well, it says, so she set out from the place where she was with her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Next verse. But Naomi, okay, said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Here Naomi encourages her two daughter-in-laws to stay behind and return. Notice she says to their to your mother's house. Go return each of you to your mother's house. In that culture, women normally returned to their father's house for security and protection. Only three times in the entire Old Testament is it stated to return or to go to a mother's house with reference to a daughter. And the idea behind it seems to be, in all three contexts, that it's the idea of remarriage or marriage. That it is the mother who encourages and assists her daughter in getting married. So the thought behind this concept here is that Naomi suggesting that they would go back home, of course, under the protection of their father or brother's family, but that they would go to their mother's where she might help them obtain husbands. And we see that for the rest of the narrative. But notice she has a slight prayer. She says, "May the Lord," and that is the covenant God of Israel, Yahweh, "deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." In other words, they probably treated Elimelech very kindly, lovingly, and her two sons. And she's glad of that. She's happy with that. So she says, "also with me." So there must have been a good relationship in the sense that she was willing to pray that the Lord would allow them to go back and to return to their mother's house that they might seek a husband. And the reason we say that is the next verse, "the Lord grant that you may find rest." Okay, and rest is a theme that runs through the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. Then rest is not merely taking a nap. Rest is a place of peace. Rest is a place of security. So he says, "the Lord grant," she says, "the Lord," again, Yahweh, "grant you that you may find rest, each of you," notice, "in the house of her husband." They're still young. She's encouraged them to go back into Moab to go into Moab to their mother's house and to find themselves husbands. Then she kissed them and they lifted up their voices and wept. So there is some love between them. There is some affection between them. And now she's encouraging them, almost pushing them away, saying, "please go home." We don't know what else we said. What she said to them, all we have is this recording here. But one of the things that really stands out to us as we look at this, and we saw this when we looked at the book of Esther, there seems to be a lack of understanding from Naomi that true rest can only be found in Yahweh, in the God of Israel, not returning to find husbands that are Moabites, not returning to those false gods, Chemosh, and the other gods that the Moabites worship. So in one way, it's almost like an anti-evangelism effort. Instead of saying, "come with me to the land of Israel to find rest in Yahweh, in the promises that he has given us in his law and promises." And I don't think it's out of a bad heart. I think she just perhaps doesn't have an orthodox view and understanding of what she's telling her daughter-in-laws. But look at their response. "And they said to her, 'no, we will return with you,'" where? "To your people." So there is some understanding that they understand that she needs to return to the nation of Israel and that the people of Israel are really her true people. "But Naomi said, 'turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands?'" Now, you might think, boy, that's a very strange thing to say. Here's a woman, probably pretty close, if not beyond, childbearing age, probably in her 50s, maybe late 50s. Her two sons are gone, her husband's gone. And you might say, well, why would she say something like that? Well, in Deuteronomy 25, I don't want to go through this yet. I want to go through this later when we meet the man Boaz and explain it a little better. But it's what's called the Levirate law. And the Levirate law is in many cultures, not only Israel. Islam has it, and a few other religions have this Levirate law. And what it was a custom. The word levir Levir means a brother of one's husband, or it's the brother-in-law. And the idea behind it was, especially in the nation of Israel, that if a man's brother died childless, the obligation of the brother that was living was that he would take the brother's wife as his wife, and the first child would receive the name of his brother, thereby securing the family line and the name of the brother who had passed away. And that is what is behind the Levirate law. Now, that's in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 through 10, if you want to read it. But in the next week or so, we will get into it, and we will I will teach you a little bit more on that aspect. But basically, what Naomi was saying was, even if I could find a husband, even if I would have sons that you could eventually marry, how long would that be? How many years would that be? 18, 20 years? So she's saying, turn back, my daughters, why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? She knows they're young women. She knows how rough it would be for them to live without a husband. So she's encouraging them. I can't help you with this matter. It's beyond my ability to help you. Go back. Return to your mother's house. Go for the security of a husband. No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter, there's the word bitter, for your sake. Notice what she says, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. I said earlier she didn't have an orthodox view of some things. But I think in one sense, she, like Job, realizes that whatever has come to her by the hand of God. So she says, for it is exceeding bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Now, when it says Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, it's in departure. It's a kiss goodbye. Okay, it's a greeting, I'm leaving, okay? So we see the seal then that Orpah left, made the decision, made the choice to go back into her mother's house, whereas we're going to see Ruth makes a decision that is the other way. She decides to go with Naomi and return with Naomi, and in the statement that she states, where she states that, is probably one of the most famous quotes from the book, if not the famous quote. I'd say it is the most famous quote from the book of Ruth that she gives. So that's where we're at. Naomi has encouraged Orpah and Ruth to return to their mothers that they might find husbands. Orpah kisses her goodbye, and Ruth says, nope, wait a second. Then we see Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her, and she said, this is Naomi speaking again, see, your sister-in-law has gone back, notice this, has gone back to her people, and where? And to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. She's still trying to push Ruth away, and I believe with a good heart, it's not ill-intended, but she's realizing that it's going to be bad enough taking care of herself when she gets back to Bethlehem. It's going to be bad enough feeding, clothing, and finding shelter for herself, much less this Moabite widow woman, even though she might love Ruth and care for her. From a natural standpoint, she believes that she has a better opportunity, okay? A better opportunity should she return to her family and to find another husband. And reflecting upon that, aren't there times when you and I, when we find someone in a difficult situation, that rather than encouraging them to repent and turn to the Lord in the midst of that trial. At times we try to give them encouraging words or to help them find another way out from under that very bad and difficult situation, rather than point them and put them in front of the Lord, so to speak, and challenge them that perhaps the reason, and it's difficult, but perhaps the reason the Lord is bringing you into some of these circumstances is because you have not repented of your sin and trusted in Him. Maybe not a direct quid pro quo that this is the result, but all troubles, all calamities come at the hand of the Lord. They're not just some abstract thing that happens in our lives, but they are very much so the reality that events happen under the sovereign hand of a loving and compassionate God. Might not seem like they're from a loving and compassionate God when we're experiencing them, but as we look back and we study God's word, we can see that. So Naomi encourages Ruth to go back, just as Orpah has gone back. But then we see that she responds, "But Ruth said," and this is a beautiful, this is 5 2-line couplets that are here. And each couplet enhances and beautifies the little phrase or the little sentence that went in front of it. Notice this. She said, "Do not urge me to leave you." Okay, "do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, also, if anything but death parts me from you." It almost sounds like the covenant that God made with Israel, doesn't it? Even at the end where there's a, if I don't do this, okay, she's saying, she brings the Lord, Yahweh, into it. She's heard enough of these covenant terms from others that she uses it herself. She says, "May the Lord, may Yahweh, your covenant God, may the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you." So there's something more that is going on here in the heart of Ruth. I don't think that, and from other commentators that what I've read, I don't think this is Ruth's conversion, but I think she's on her way to putting her faith, hope, and trust in Yahweh God, the God, covenant God of Israel. She's beginning to see, she's beginning to understand, she's putting the pieces together, and God by His grace is calling her to Himself. But notice what she says. "Don't urge me to leave or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go. I'm committed to you. I'm in this with you. Where you lodge, where you stay, I'm going to stay with you. Your people shall be my people." This is a term, a phraseology that she's saying, "I'm going to be involved in your covenant community. I'm going back with you to the nation of Israel, and by faith, I'm going to walk with those people as you are going to walk with those people. And even more importantly," she says, "and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die." That's commitment. "And there will I be buried." Now, it's interesting that these words are often lifted from this context and used as vows in a wedding. But in essence, it's not from a husband to a wife, though they're very beautiful words. It's really a covenant language that is given between a daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law, though it could be extended to almost any relationship. But it is a beautiful way of stating a commitment to another person. And then to put that at the end, she says, "May the Lord, may Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you." And then even after all this anti-evangelism, it seems that Naomi did with both Orpah and Ruth, we get to that verse here and she says, "And when Naomi saw that she, that is Ruth, was determined to go with her, she said no more." She didn't push back. She said what she had to say, and now she says no more. So what ended up in verse 5, we saw as last week, where Mahlon and Chilion died, and said so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. It seemed like there was no hope. She had sunk to the farthest place she could go, Naomi. And now she hears that there's bread again in the house of bread in Bethlehem and Judah. She sets out to make this journey to return to her homeland, to her hometown, to her family, to her friends, to her covenant community. And she encourages her daughters-in-law to go back and find their own husbands in Moab. Orpah goes, kisses her goodbye. Ruth says to Naomi, no. We get that wonderful phraseology of covenant commitment to her mother-in-law. And now we're at another point. No wasted words. It says, and when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Now, no wasted words. Nothing more said. But then we're going to pick it up next week, Lord willing, and we're going to see that now hope is beginning to kindle. There is a kindled hope that more is going to happen as the narrator has led us through this story. He's brought us through the lowest of lows, and now he's starting to make a little bit of an ascended pickup now in this storyline. All right, I see the time is slipping away on us. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for the word. Thank you for Naomi, Lord, and for Ruth, O Lord, and the grace that you have shown to us through them, O Lord. May we, as this story unfolds before us, see your great love and mercy for your people, and that, Lord, that you have extended your grace not only to the descendants of Abraham, but also, Lord, to those who lived in other nations, for you blessed all the world through Abraham, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.